Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where family B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Bernie Skolny and Ben Skolny of Willow Group. The Willow story stretches back nearly a century, beginning in 1928 with Ludwig Skolny, a skilled basket artisan who immigrated from Poland and started a small basket weaving business in Rochester, New York. Over generations, that small family operation evolved into what is now Willow Group, a multi-division business spanning baskets, displays, dry floral, seasonal products, and wholesale retail support across multiple facilities throughout the U.S. Today, Bernie represents the third generation of leadership, having spent his life in the business and helping transform Willow into a national operation with expanded sourcing, manufacturing, and merchandising capabilities. Alongside him is his son, Ben, representing the fourth generation and helping guide the company through modernization, evolving retail dynamics, and the next chapter of growth. What makes this conversation especially interesting is that Willow Group sits at the intersection of tradition and change. A business rooted in craftsmanship and relationships, now navigating modern retail, digital commerce, AI, and a rapidly changing marketplace. Bernie, Ben, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
How do you do? Thank you.
Great having you guys. Okay, so let's start with you, Bernie. Your family's roots in this business go back nearly 100 years. When you think about your grandfather, Ludwig, starting this business in Rochester, what do you think he would say if he saw Willow Group today?
I think he'd be amazed. I mean, my grandfather emigrated from Poland as a basket weaver and was supporting his family. And he was not well educated. He did not read or write, and he would carry baskets into Rochester, New York in his arms, disperse them to his customers, take verbal orders, come back, and his wife would transcribe those orders into paper. He'd make baskets for a week and go through the same routine again. And to watch how commerce works today, I think he would just be completely amazed at how things have changed.
Little different, huh, than that. So turning to you, Ben, representing the fourth generation entering the business. So what drew you into Willow Group? What drew you into the family business?
Yeah. So growing up, obviously, my mom and dad, who are both involved, I would say they're workaholics, but for better or worse. So growing up, I've always been around the business, and we're 5 minutes away from the warehouse. So occasionally I would even go to the warehouse and kind of see how things operate there. I didn't really start getting involved until I was in college and whatnot. I would come in and help a little bit here and there when I was a kid. But what really drew me in was, I think the primary reason why I came back was I know my dad's getting a little bit older. I don't want to say his age on the podcast and expose him, but I wanted him to really take a step back as he's been involved with the company for so long in his life. It is part of him. And with that being said, he puts a lot of his blood, sweat, and tears into the company. Mm. I want him to kind of take a little bit of a step back, not saying to leave the company in totality, but just take a step back and kind of still do what he needs to do without having to put as much stress onto him. And so I really wanted to come back and try to help give a new perspective, a more modern perspective, and ideas of how we can change and adapt to a modern society and a modern way of business so that he can take a step back and still do what he loves to do, but without a lot of the stress that comes with it.
Understood.
Thanks, can't wait.
And it's going to be a challenge, Bernie. Certainly, You've leaned into the business all your life, and now, starting that transition of stepping away, certainly a challenge. It's
Definitely.
something. I mean, you literally, as I understand it, Bernie, you literally grew up in the shop, right? I mean, you were there from the beginning.
From an
So
early
as
age.
yeah, I mean, so as you look back, certainly a lot has changed. And yes, certainly if Ludwig came here today, he'd be like, "Wow, what is this?" Right? But most certainly there were some values or lessons from those early years that are instilled in you. Talk about that for a moment, Bernie. What are some of those early lessons or early values that you learned early on that are still present in Willow Group?
I think there's always the simple words, to be humble, to be hungry, and to be smart. I think those are ground rules for everyone. But I think valuing not only your customers, but your family and your employees, which in our case, our family, is the most important thing. I always share with people when I was just starting our business, we had a company, John Wagner and Sons, and Ivyland, Pennsylvania, that packed jellies. And we had an order that was placed, and we were having issues with quality overseas delivery. And he had commitments. He had commitments to supermarkets and so on to make delivery. And at that point, we resolved our problem overseas, but we had to air freight a full 40-foot ocean foot container from overseas. At the end of the day, it cost us a lot of money. But it was the best advertising we ever got because we serviced our customer and came through. And I think that attitude of doing the right thing for our customer has been one of the foundations of the success of the company over the years.
And that sounds like it's still present to this day, this idea of taking care of the customer no matter what, right?
I hope
Even
so, yes.
if it means air freighting a rather large shipment at probably a rather large expense.
That's correct.
But from that, potentially you win a customer for life or a relationship for life that would serve you well. And it sounds like it did in many
It
other
did.
ways. Wonderful. So Willow can be viewed as a basket or product company from the outside, but the reality of what you are seems to be deeper than that. So Ben, starting with you, how would you describe what the business really does for its retailer and wholesaler relationships and customers?
As my dad said, a big value is customer service. And I think something, especially that's been instilled with me, is that we're providing good quality products to customers with great customer service. And again, we try to be as competitive as we can with our pricing while giving our customers the best value. But with that, like my dad was saying, pushing for that customer service and just making sure that they're serviced and heard. I think that's really a big value that we've had within our company and something that we try to instill within our customer service and employees as well to treat the customer as well, not just as a customer, but also as family. And in a lot of cases, that does go far and goes beyond just beating the price of your competitor. Being able to develop that relationship and continue to maintain that relationship with customers has been a big thing that I've seen from a kid and even just being in Willow for the short time that I've been here working full time. Just servicing the customer to the best of our ability is really, really key to our business model.
So it sounds that relationships run deep internally and externally. And
Yeah.
I'm surmising that a lot of the relationships that you have gone back some time in terms of your customers. They tend to stick around because of that high touch service that you deliver. Is that safe to say?
Yes,
Cool. Cool.
definitely.
So let's talk a little bit, Bernie, about evolution here. So handcrafted baskets was where it all began, but over the years, Willow Group evolved into something more, including sourcing displays, dry floral assembly, merchandising support. So going a little bit broader in terms of both product range and I would say offerings and capabilities. Talk a little bit about what drove that evolution.
Well, some of it was planned, some was just by fault, I think it happened. So over the years, we started as basically a basic basket company where we were selling baskets primarily for
gift packaging fruit baskets, which was the baseline trade before gourmet baskets became popular. Also doing just some standard laundry baskets for your home and simple basic baskets for display. Over time, our customer base changed, and specifically the gift industry in the last 20 years has changed. So you have the 800 Flowers of the world, the Harry and Davids. There's been so much consolidation that's happened where we used to have approximately 14,000 active accounts in gift packaging. That number of accounts declined over a period of time as there was consolidation in the industry. Although it's still a major part of our business, we looked at other avenues to keep our volumes and try to keep our balance during the year with sales flowing. So we expanded and we started doing more floral basket business. And that led us into doing more and more business with supermarkets, which we're already selling fruit baskets to, which led us into display baskets, which led us into some associated markets, such as we have a division that does fragranced decorated brooms, cinnamon brooms, which are typically sold throughout the country at all the major supermarkets. So we just kept adding lines that would keep building us and making us more important to our key customers. And that revolved primarily around supermarkets and some of the mass merchants. And it gave us a broader influence with those customers, as although we consider it our primary business, the supply business to the floral department in a supermarket is a very small part of their overall business. So the more related lines that we could bring to them to make one-stop shopping really made it beneficial for us as a company and strengthened our position as a long-term supplier and partner with each of these types of customers.
So the expansion was somewhat customer led too. So they had multiple needs. You identified that you could source multiple need sets or multiple categories, I should say. So you gradually started to expand, and that would enable them some a little bit of consolidated buying versus buying 10 items from 10 different providers. They could buy 10 from Willow Group or something along that lines. Is that
Yes, I think that's
correct?
very accurate. And I think that was always, I don't know if it's a secret sauce, but I think it's something that we always enjoyed doing. It was always that new thing on the horizon. We sell a 9-inch bamboo bun basket for 50 years. We want to change it up a little bit. So I think that kind of kept our life and kept us a little bit active in making things change. So.
Yeah. So how did you go about picking picking the winners versus the losers, if you will, in terms of when to expand into another product line? How did you size those up? Like is this, in other words, it sounds like you've always stayed somewhat in your channel of expertise, but maybe inching out of it a little bit. In other words, how did you stay in your lane without overextending?
We haven't always. We've made mistakes along the way. I think we just take kind of a poll between the management team, and I think things are much more data driven today, which I think is something that Ben's spent a lot of time in bringing to the company. But I think we put our finger up in the wind and see which way it was going to go, and go for it. We've taken a few directions that we thought we could be very strong. For example, we developed a line of Just Plant It, which was a line of planters for mass merchants. And we weren't ready to play against some of the bigger players in that marketplace. And we entered, we worked, and we basically exited after 12 months or 15 months. And so we have made our mistakes, but we find the closer we just keep to our customer and with our related strengths that we feel we have strength in overseas buying and our expertise with natural products, so to speak, not machined products, that we feel comfortable in that zone.
Excellent. And it sounds like if I'm reading it correctly, there's a fair amount of agility in the organization, whereas certainly you're not going to be perfect. No one expects you or anyone else to. Well, maybe your customers do, but they shouldn't expect perfection. You strive for it, certainly. But point being that when you extend into a product line that isn't going favorably, you're also quick to rewrite the ship, if you will, and say, okay, we tried that. It didn't quite work to our expectation. let's move away and let's move on to something else that maybe is better aligned for our skill sets and our competencies. So as opposed to banging our heads against the wall for 3 years and spending a lot of money and then saying, oh, this is not going to work. So that's good to see. Ben, turning to you, now the company is multiple divisions, multiple facilities. In your view, coming into the business, how is the organization staying aligned and still maintaining that family-centric, family business culture that seemed to be so key to so many facets of your success?
I would say definitely with the growing divisions and everything like that, and especially the growing customer base within each division, it does get a lot harder. I think something that does help is that we have a core team, a core marketing team, for example, all in the Batavia warehouse. And so we have essentially core teams all in the same place that are working across multiple divisions. And I would say it is something that we are trying to get better at and trying to align a lot of the communication between the divisions. But having one so-called employee family makes it a lot easier to kind of communicate what direction we're trying to go towards. Even though, the dried flowers and the baskets, they might not be have the exact same customer base or the same exact marketing. We try our best to try to incorporate all of it at the same time to try to be as aligned as possible. But I think that is something that we're also trying to improve on and trying to figure out how we can incorporate everything into the same family line, or if there might be better, or if they might be better off being separate and kind of having their own kind of marketing strategy and whatnot. These are some conversations we're still having to this day.
Makes sense. Yeah. So there's times when it makes sense for a group or a division to be somewhat distinct based on what its deliverables are. And but it sounds like the operation has enough where things aren't siloed, where there's enough there's a layer of communication where best practices can be understood by all, heard by all, and followed by all. And then within the channels, there's some maybe some customization or something like that. Seems to make sense. Bernie, you've seen, gosh, numerous shifts in the business and the change in even retail. I mean, just think about retail and the shifts that that you've seen across the span of your career. Aside from consolidation, what have some of the big shifts been that have had an impact on Willow Group and how you do business?
I think the world's a much smaller place. And globalization, as much as we say we're going away from it, it's still there. And what used to be, in our mind, we used to love it, when we were dealing overseas, whether it be Europe and China, India, we were in the back country. Nobody wanted to go to the back country to work. And now, everybody in China has their own small business and they're selling directly to the consumer here. So there's the channels have shifted significantly. And so that's been a big challenge for us. And I think that's going to continue to be a challenge going forward. We've toyed actually with certain product lines of taking them direct to consumer and using Shopify or whatever other channel may be available. We have not pulled the trigger there. I think that there's some really big differences that we have to understand before we do that on the specific needs of a consumer is different than business to business. And from what I understand, consumers are a lot more picky. People that are in the clothing business, it sounds like they're making a fortune, but 30 and 40% return rates. I mean, those are all things that would have to be figured out. So, it is challenging. And I think that as well, we're finding new challenges in how B2B distributors are going to market, whether it be a fair or other new channels that are being developed. And those channels are, giving free freight or giving some incentive that we're actually competing with another middleman that's put themselves in between again. So it's very interesting.
It's in any sort of a distributor business, you're always you're a valued resource for the right level of buyer, but by same token, you always have to kind of be reaffirming that value. because people are quick to forget, and there's a lot of what have you done for me lately out there. So always kind of reaffirming, we're here for you, and we're here to do good for you. Probably has to come up quite a bit. You raised a great point about platforms like Faire, certainly changing how retailers are discovering and purchasing products. So Ben, I'm gonna put this one to you. How has platforms like that affected or shifted or changed the way you think about sales and distribution overall?
Yeah, great question. I think fairly new, no pun intended. It's been around, I think, for a couple of years now, but I think it's really exploded in the recent years, especially for wholesalers to retailers. Essentially, for those who don't know what it is, the best comparison I can make it is it's basically Amazon, but instead of Amazon being outlet for consumers to buy, Faire is an outlet for wholesalers or retailers to sell on and for retailers to buy from. And so a lot of the change, as my dad was saying, the channels over the past decade has changed tremendously, just supplying or where customers are supplying from. Maybe they're buying straight from the supplier. Faire has provided an easy kind of one-stop shop for some of these smaller mom-and-pop shops to kind of shop from. They don't have to go to the wholesaler, go to the supplier to buy bulk items. Faire really makes it very simple for these consumers to buy from. And from the past couple years, we've seen the growth in Faire, especially within the smaller retailer market. And as my dad mentioned a little bit earlier in this podcast, that was a big market that we used to have within our company. But again, over the years, we kind of started catering toward more bigger wholesalers. And we still had a couple of small retailers here and there, but not as much as we did maybe 20 years ago. And so I guess with Faire kind of up and coming, I'll use the motto, if you can't beat them, join them. And so we've essentially implemented it as one of our other channels that we kind of sell on. We just recently remodeled and revamped our website, which we've seen a lot of growth on in the past. But again, as people are looking for a more simple way of buying and Faire being that one kind of stop shop for those consumers, we've seen it just as an additional channel that we can provide our services on, and really just get our products out there to those consumers. And hopefully, if they like our products and whatnot, they could continue buying from us through Faire. Or if they like us enough, they could give us a look at on our website and maybe go through there. But we're happy to take their business on Faire or wherever they feel comfortable going through.
And that's a great attitude, and really strikes to the spirit of the company, is always being looking for the next new, whatever that might be, and then carefully sizing it up to say, is this good or not good? Bernie, I've been curious about something that I've just casually watched as a consumer. And I don't know if there's trends or cycles, but I would love your perspective on this. So, certainly there was the onset of the, we'll call the box store onset, right? And that came through. And then you see, the smaller retailers coming and going, but it always seems like when one goes away, another steps into its place. Like, are there cycles? Are there shifts? Are there, does it just kind of ebb and flow naturally? How do you all read that, if you do? I'm just curious.
I think that's a little bit difficult. I grew up and I was always told, you can always count on this, the basket business, the fruit basket business, because, when the economy goes soft, people are going to go and buy a food gift for somebody because they're not going to just waste money on a something that's not essential. But, that also changed. So, I mean, the fruit basket business changed for us 15 years ago. You can go to the store any day of the week and you can get any exotic fruit. You can get an apple, you can get an orange, 12 months of the year now. That used to not be the case. And that really had an influence on the fruit basket business. And from fruit baskets, I think it kind of evolved into gourmet baskets, right? So gourmet baskets came very hot. It's still a very big category. But again, it shifted from a lot of small independents into the majors, and it's just the consolidation in that industry has just been fantastic. So I think
there are shifts in the consumer market. Plus, I think the younger generations, and I'm not sure millennials, I get confused with all the different terminology, but today I think people like to make up their own minds. So sometimes it's easier to just buy a gift card or and hand it to somebody instead of a final gift and leave that choice up to the individual. So I think those are shifting patterns that have impacted our business to some extent. And I think, there's always going to be another opportunity. I think we just have to keep our eyes open and try to move with the changes in the wind.
Yeah, cool. Getting back to something before this program, Ben, we actually were talking a lot about modernization. So, when you look at the organization now, what does modernization look like in a nearly 100-year-old business? What is that? How does that show up?
Well, just to throw out an example, again, I don't want to put too much blast onto my dad, but he is a very big advocate of pen and paper. If he's getting something online, a PDF of a spreadsheet or anything like that, he typically prints it out. He likes having the piece of paper in front of him where he can jot notes wherever he can, and things like that. So again, that's just traditionally how things have been done, and it works for him, and it works for a lot of other people, which is fine. And I'm not bashing that at all. But over the especially past 10 years, things online have just been increasingly more important in a business sense, and it just allows things to seamlessly kind of be more transparent for the whole company, rather than just being on one piece of paper. So I guess that's kind of a start to kind of what I want to try to go from pen and paper over to a digital kind of sense. But in the same time, I know that's a big change for a lot of people, and it's going to take some time. It can't just be something where tomorrow we say, hey, we're going to be all online, no more pen and paper. But along with that, I think on a communication end, a lot of the communication internally happens over Outlook. Very minimal over Teams or Slack or kind of those different channels that a lot of companies are adapting within their internal communication structure. So one of the goals I have throughout the year is trying to incorporate Teams a little bit more within internal communication throughout all divisions. And hopefully the end goal is to have a fully launched Teams ecosystem throughout the whole Willow community. Again, providing a lot more transparency and clarification for certain issues, orders, whatever it may be, and providing a channel where specific departments could even just chat about whether it be business or even kind of on their downtime if they want to have a fun chat thing, that it provides an environment where they can have those conversations. And along with that, kind of moving a little bit forward, again, not something we probably won't be able to get to this year, but with ERPs and AI coming to the rise, especially within the last 5 years, it's risen exponentially. And in my eyes, within the next 5, 10 years, if you don't incorporate AI, you're going to be kind of left in the dust with all the other competitors and other companies adapting it. I think that's going to be a really big shift. And I'm not saying we want to adapt AI within the year, but definitely at least spark some conversations as how we'll be able to utilize it within our company so that we can keep up with all the other competitors and other players that are adopting the same AI or kind of new modern systems. So again, just trying to bring up a new modern perspective. And again, we don't have to go through all of them because if we did, we probably wouldn't have enough money to invest into them. But definitely, at least talking about it, looking at what our options could be, which ones we could utilize, and at least having those conversations and getting more direction of where we kind of want to go and where we want to be.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely looking in the right directions and all good developments and enhancements for the business. Turning to you, Bernie. So here's Ben, fourth generation, stepping into the business. What excites you the most about him sitting there with you as the next generation?
It's funny. It's gone through a transition, and Ben's been with us, for some time now. And I thought it was best that he's not working next to me, like we're talking, sitting next to each other today. So Ben's working down at our floral division, and he's living in Charlotte now. So he's got a little bit of separation, and he's really doing really well. And I'm surprised Brent just brings a whole new perspective to the company. And I think that's one of the biggest opportunities that we have. And I'm the guy that does everything. I'm involved from too much working in the business, not enough working on the business. I mean, I think that's pretty typical. But realizing that I need to step back because that's not actually helping the company. And watching the we have such an established workforce that's been with us for a long time. Brings Ben and some of our other new employees that we have. We have a CFO that was brought on 2 years ago. We have a new data analyst that came on. It's a fresh look, and they don't have to understand the details that I know of how to make a basket or whatever, but they're bringing in a whole new perspective, which I think is the future for the company. And I think, mixing the old and mixing the new and giving that opportunity a chance to grow is the thing that I see coming from Ben and from all the other new hires that we have.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, certainly, there's a generational shift happening within the company. The same generational shift is happening externally. Certainly, I'm sure, there's some on the customer side, some long-standing relationships that might be moving on or stepping out and new people stepping in. So it's it's not just happening inside Willow Group, it's happening all around you too. So and it's great that you have the time horizon of a good orderly transition to make it happen in the best possible way. So that's great. On the other side of that, what are some things that maybe worry you, some concerns maybe that you have about the business environment that this fourth generation is now stepping into?
Well, I think that there's a long list there too, especially the last couple of years. I think, there's been a big push against, deglobalization, and I think that's probably not a good thing because that brings conflict. Trade brings peacefulness. Everybody's happy with trade, and I think some of the trade wars and so on are definitely, out of our control, but they're definitely impactful to our business, and I think for the future of our business. And the whole tariff situation has been huge. It's a huge part of, we had stability in currency and pricing for a period of 10, 12 years, basically. And I mean, we had a little bit of fuel here and there with, ocean freight and so on, but pricing was very stable, and the whole ecosystem of doing business was very balanced. And there's been so many shifts in the last year, with our larger customers, you're pricing and then you're repricing and you're trying to go back, and they're, and you go to a supermarket and say, well, we're going to change your price after we quoted you 6 months ago, and they're going, no, you're not. And so it was very much of a challenge, and I think those challenges are still out in front of us. And what we're just doing our best to bridge it and absorb what we can, and saying this is a short-term problem too, and we have to just keep looking at the long term and ride through this. But I think that we're going to face new challenges, whether it was a COVID or so on, which I mean, actually COVID was a fantastic thing for our business, but there's always going to be a new challenge to face.
Yeah, that's very true, especially in recent years of anything. Who knew that a global pandemic would blow through in, 2020? That was, I think, a surprise to all of us. Ben, you mentioned something before relative to exploring AI, which is certainly becoming a front and center conversation in virtually every industry right now. So talk a little bit more about, I know you're starting to explore, but how are you looking at AI inside Willow Group? Is it from an operation standpoint, a customer standpoint, or are you looking at it more holistically right now?
Yeah, I think definitely we could look to adapt AI in all aspects. Something that I could see Willow adopting, and I'm not saying to replace our customer service or anything like that, because we have a wonderful customer service team, but allowing for our customers to have an AI maybe assistant on our website to help direct them to find specific products that they're looking for example. Or even adopting AI internally, where maybe we don't specially cater an AI toward our company, like some of these bigger companies that have their own AI models, but just maybe implementing workshops or kind of lessons or classes within a Willow group to kind of show how to use or utilize AI, such as Copilot, Claude, maybe ChatGPT, stuff like that, where if we're able to know how we can use it, I think it will allow us to go about the business processes and the day-to-day operations a lot easier because AI can really streamline if you want to do something in Excel, make a specific graph, do specific equations or anything like that. Something that might take someone an hour to do, you just type in what you want to do in AI and it could print it out for you in 5 minutes tops. And yeah, you might have to do a little bit of restructuring of your prompt and whatnot and kind of looking back and seeing how you can make maybe change it to get the output that you're looking for. But again, if we implement some of these classes showcasing our staff and employees how we can best utilize it, I think we can see a lot of growth and a lot of growth, especially in the efficiency within day-to-day operations. But again, it's a learning curve for everybody. So having those lessons are going to be crucial. I know a lot of people tend to see AI and whatever the output is, they see as true and that's factual and that's the answer that they're looking for, but really emphasizing that AI should be utilized as a tool, not as a solution.
Great points. And I think you're approaching it the right way. I think a lot of companies are like go to their team. Okay, go learn AI. Okay, to what end? Where do I start? Whereas giving them some guardrails and being a really good coach gets you a lot further. Saying, well, the next time you're faced with this scenario, here's a way you can do it a lot faster. You can use whether it be Claude or Perplexity or GPT or one of the other platforms and say, all right, I've found this to be the fastest route to getting that answer. Or why don't you try this prompt? Now you're giving them coaching instead of just have at it, because anyone can have at it, but until you really understand the parameters of the tool, it's a hard tool to use. But once you understand it, it's a great tool to use potentially. One of the things that I think came out of both of you was the strong service-minded culture of Willow Group that's really goes back to the beginning and carries forward. Bernie, beyond that, when you think about differentiation, what would or what should make a retailer or a wholesaler or a potential customer choose Willow Group over another provider? So what else differentiates you above and beyond giving great service?
I believe that we have to solve the customer's problems and understand what their needs are. And I think that Willow is always, at least in our, packaging area and in our initiation where we started, it was bringing new creative solutions. And we've got some very, very talented people, Jim Walsh, his wife, Lolly, who's also another acquisition and it's part of the family. Very, very good with product development. It's something that we all spend a lot of time. I mean, our phones probably have fewer pictures of our dogs and kids and more pictures of every store that we walk into with a new idea every day, and that we're sharing and putting it back and forth between each other every day. Maybe we should be looking at this. Maybe we should be twisting it this way. We're in the basket business. It's the same basket, new twist. That's the only thing that we can change, right? So it's always just trying to find that next new thing and finding the value proposition for our customer that's going to make them successful and understanding their needs.
So I was thinking of something. We have other clients that sell into various retail, and there's a way that I, as a consumer, walk through a retail store. But then I can only imagine, Bernie, when you walk through a retail store and you start looking at things.
Exactly.
I can't imagine what's going through your head, but like, oh gosh, they should be stocking this, or why are they showcasing this that way, or this is a total miss. I mean, do you kind of put on that lens when you go through a store?
Or hopefully we're not that way. Hopefully we're saying, oh, this is what our competitor's doing, and maybe we should be thinking about twisting our item a little bit. So yeah, I think it's always just trying to be in the marketplace and taking a look and knowing where our roots are. We have differentiated ourselves with certain products, which are very simple products that have been selling the same for 10, 15 years. So it's more of just a packaging type idea and it's more price sensitive. But I think with some of our core markets, it is bringing that the new look. Then what's the next thing? How do we keep up with the color patterns and dried florals with the next season? What's trending? So that is definitely important in trying to keep on top of those trends.
Yeah, and that definitely shifts. And then sometimes, I'm sure in your career, you've seen it circle back too, where something that was really popular maybe 20 years ago or 10 years ago is suddenly showing up again in maybe a different way or a new twist or something.
Yes.
I always, when I was early in my career, I'd go to a client like, wow, I just saw this. This was so cool. He's like, yeah, that was done about 25 years ago and then 15 years ago. And this is just a new spin on it. I was like, he kind of deflated me. I'm like, I thought this was like the next new thing. He's like, oh, not really. It's just a little different.
Trend.
Oh, well. So, okay, Ben, coming to you, as part of fourth generation, what do you hope your mark's going to be on this business? What do you hope to accomplish in your journey now?
Yeah, so I have a couple goals. Again, the main one just really being able to bring the company into a more modern light. And I think with the team, as my dad was saying, the new acquisitions that we have with the new data analyst, the new CFO, I think we're heading toward the right direction. And we're already starting to implement a lot of these modern ideas, or at least trying to look a little bit more within the data, and kind of have our decisions be driven by that. I would say my biggest goal and mark would be to, one, let my dad take a step back and not have to be part of the day-to-day as much as he is, and really kind of just focus on what he does best, which is a lot, but trying to narrow it down so he gets a little bit off his plate. I would say those are kind of my short to medium, long or short to medium term goals. When it comes to long-term goals and long-term marks, I do want to be a part of the company and everything like that. And I want to have the family business continue to strive and live on. However, I'm just going to be completely honest. What my goal is to kind of be able to bring it into a modern light within 10 years, implement systems, evolve what the current systems that we have, where it's something that can be kind of looked at or monitored remotely. If my dad in 5 years is at home on the couch, he can kind of see through KPIs and kind of through the data structures that we have in place, kind of where we're at on specific orders, specific customers, or whatnot. Really just making it so someone can monitor it on an outside lens and they don't have to be in the office 24/7. So hopefully, right now I have it about at 5 to 10 years. I kind of want to work and try to implement these systems and involve the company. After that, I would love to kind of still be involved within the company, but maybe taking a step back and kind of exploring what other options there are within the world. As one of my passions is tech and everything like that, maybe going into a field like that, and kind of just exploring what there is out there while still trying to give efforts within the company as well. But really, the mark that I hope to make is to make it so that their systems in place and technologies adapted well enough where if I wanted to, even if I wasn't working in the office, I'd be able to kind of still see what's happening within the company and still be able to give my two cents of, oh, we can maybe infiltrate this market, or maybe this market is something we might want to take another deeper look into, or kind of those bigger kind of scope type of decisions, still being able to kind of provide my two cents into there. Along with that, having three other siblings, they're all doing their own thing, which is completely fine. Hopefully bringing it to a point, again, if it does get to a point where you can monitor it externally, maybe seeing if they'd be interested in kind of coming in and maybe providing some of their experience, as my brother's an engineer, my sister's into marketing and in that creative field, and my other sister, she's in business as well, but kind of more on the licensing side and whatnot. But I think we all complement each other, and what my long-term goal would be, and again, it's going to be something I have to communicate with them and see if they're even interested in, but maybe getting us all together and us all able to form a team where we can kind of contribute to the family business and allow it to just keep striving and flourishing for the foreseeable future.
And for a starter, you could send him this podcast. So, yeah, it came up, by the way, in conversation. I just kicking it around. I don't know what you think. That's great. That all sounds great. So, one of the points made was Bernie about Ben made a couple of times about giving you the opportunities to step back or step away. What do you think that's going to look like for you personally? How's that going to show up, as you go through this transition to truly being able to step back or step away a little bit more than maybe historically you have?
Yeah, well, that's one of my weak points is succession planning. I've been doing it for 15 years and it's still it's moving. The needle's moving, but it's moved slow. I love what I do, but sometimes in all honesty, I'm my own worst enemy. I'm the guy that's involved with everything, and I actually Ben and I had a little bit of a breakfast lunch combination today. And we were discussing it, and I said, we've looked at everything in transitions and so on, but I really believe it's at a point where I'm going to need to put a COO in between myself and the rest of the team, and force myself to concentrate on my things that I enjoy doing the most, that I believe are most productive for the future direction of the company. And basically putting a wall up there and making everything else flow through a seasoned person that understands our culture. And finding that person is not the easiest thing to do. And I think it's a big challenge for me right now. And I think speaking to Ben, this is the best thing for not only myself, some of the goals that Ben's outlined, some of the goals that I've outlined for myself, but for the whole Willow family and for the succession of the company. And for the legacy of the family.
And you're right, finding the right person for a role like that is a challenge, but they are out there. And a good one will understand both the business dynamics and the culture dynamics and the values dynamics that you've set into place. One that's not so good, maybe we'll just look at the numbers and nothing else. And that doesn't always translate well in family businesses, but a person that really gets where you all are going as an organization, where you are at as a family, and where the business is at, will probably be the right fit and certainly give you that extra set of hands that it sounds like are needed in the near future. So wish you well to that end for sure. Last question, and I feel, guys, like I could be talking to you for hours, if not days, but last question. Ben, if any of our listeners wanted to connect with you, connect with your dad to learn more about your journey, about Willow Group, what's the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so I know I'm available on LinkedIn. I'm sure my dad is as well. He might not be on it as much. But you can always reach out to us via LinkedIn. My at would be Ben Scalney. My dad would be Bernie Scalney. We're both Bernards, but we go by different nicknames. Another way you could kind of maybe not reach out to us directly, but it just to learn a little bit more about Willow as a whole, willowgroupltd.com. We just launched a new website. So if you kind of want to see a little bit more of kind of what we offer, a little bit more of to what our history is, and kind of just a little bit more information about the company, that would be a great spot to do it. If you're already on Fair and everything, it would basically be the same selections we have on our website on Fair as well. We also have an Instagram, Willow Group, which showcases essentially seasonal products that we're offering, especially during the seasons and everything like that. So if you do kind of want to get a little bit better idea of kind of what we offer, who we are as a company, especially who we are as a family. I think Instagram and our website would be the best spots to go to. But if you have any questions for my dad or I, LinkedIn would be a great place to reach out to us at.
Understood. And we'll make be sure to capture all that in the show notes as well. Well, to wrap up, what stands out for me is Willow Group, the story is about the balancing act really between legacy and evolution. It's a business that's been built on craftsmanship, relationship, service, and family values is now navigating a completely different retail and business environment than the one that was in place when the business started nearly a century ago. And that challenge is something many family businesses can relate to. How do you preserve what made the company successful while still adapting fast enough for what comes next? Bernie, Ben, Thank you both for sharing your story and perspective. Again, we've been speaking with Bernie Skolny and Ben Skolny of Willow Group, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bernie, Ben, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Ed.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.